March 2nd, she questioned HUD Secretary Jackson, stating that the proposed budget for 2007 will hurt families and undermine community development efforts nationwide. Last night, on the Senate floor during the budget process, she mentioned in her speech that housing is falling short. We need to work on this as a priority. This is Senator Murray from the state of Washington.
Thank you. Well, thank you. Thank you so much, and I'm so glad my cheerleading team is here as well. It's great to have all of you here. Renee, thank you so much for that kind introduction. I know a lot of you have come a long way, including my friends from Washington State, to be here, and Renee does a great job in Walla Walla. Christina Pegg is here. She's president of the Pacific Northwest Region. Kurt Krieger, who I've known forever, your past national president, and so many others that you saw up here who just do an outstanding job, and I'm just so proud to call them my partner and to have a chance to work with them. It's no surprise they're back here as national leaders to me. But wherever you come from, boy, do we need you here in Washington, D.C. right now. We need you to be here to stand up for your communities because I think you are all very well aware that the White House wants to cut investment in housing and community development. And right now, while you are here, Congress, the Senate, is on the floor debating the exact budget that will determine our future and the future of housing and the future of our community needs. And we have to ask the question, do we accept this president's cuts, or are we going to invest in our families and in our future? It is an open question, and right now the clock is running. If we are going to win, we need a very loud and very unified message from all of you to all your members of Congress today. And I'm hoping that I can give you a couple of tools and suggestions to help you with that process in my remarks. But let me start first with a very quick overview of the funding landscape that we're facing. I want to talk with you for a few minutes about what the president's budget means and what Congress is doing. And then, as I said, I'll give you some tips for when you meet with your elected officials. Because I can tell you, as a senator, I get thousands of requests every year, and I know a little bit about what tactics work and what don't. So I hope I can give you some advice on that today. But now, as Renee and others have pointed out, I am the top Democrat on the Appropriations Subcommittee with responsibility over HUD. Our committee has only handled HUD now for the past year, but I personally have been working on housing issues for a very long time, and I know we have got a fight on our hands this year. Over the past 2 weeks, we've held two hearings with Secretary Jackson. One on the overall budget for HUD and another one on the housing needs directly in the Gulf Coast. You know, after the hurricane, many Americans saw a side of life that we rarely see, and Americans got to see your public housing authorities across the country make heroic efforts to find housing to help relocate some of our hurricane victims. So first, let me just say on behalf of all of us, thank you to so many of you for what you personally did during and still during that crisis. But what many Americans don't know is that your agencies already had long waiting lists of local families who'd been waiting for housing for months or even years. And many of those families on your waiting lists were no less poor, no less desperate, and in some cases, no less homeless than the Katrina victims. And the vast majority of them are still waiting for an available unit today. Those are the realities that should be informing our debate on the larger HUD budget. Now, the Bush administration, after many missteps, by the way, on housing the victims of Katrina, is now requesting significant funds to rebuild housing in Louisiana and Mississippi. But at the same time, they are asking us to decimate critical programs in HUD that help the most vulnerable citizens in the other 48 states. The administration's position is hypocritical, and it's hurtful, and we have got to fix it. It is clear that the Bush administration's priorities are not with the missions of the Department of Housing and Urban Development. To put this in context, the president's budget for the coming fiscal year would increase discretionary spending by 3.2%. That's good. But somehow, HUD is singled out for a cut of 1.8%, and that is dangerous when so many families in this country today need help. Funding for community development block grant, CDBG, slated for a cut of more than $1 billion. The president wants to eliminate the HOPE 6 program. In fact, the administration's budget goes even further and asks Congress to take back the funding that we appropriated for that last year. Housing for the elderly cuts 26%. Housing for the disabled cut by 50%. And the White House is not providing another dime to help you with rising utility costs. And finally, funding for the Public Housing Capital Fund, which is critical to your ability to keep your property in reasonable shape, is singled out for an 11% cut. That, my friends, is a misguided budget. And certainly in this country, we can do better than that. Now, I'm going to be working with others in the Senate to try and help move this budget that we're considering on the floor in the right direction. I'm going to be offering an amendment to fully fund the Community Development Block Grant. Now, let me just warn you, last year there was a budget amendment that expressed support for CDBG, but it didn't provide any money. And in the end, CDBG was cut by $500 million last year. Now, this year, there's another amendment just like it. It's out there as a don't worry, be happy till after the election amendment. Don't buy it. If it doesn't provide real dollars and it doesn't provide it above the cap, we're going to be sitting here in October cutting CDBG and critical housing funds, so don't let anybody off with that. The amendment that I'll be offering, and I had hoped it would be bipartisan, but today we're seeing a number of my friends on the other side of the aisle move to the Don't Worry, Be Happy amendment. But we are going to be offering that, and I hope all of you ask folks today in your meetings to support the real amendment, because we cannot afford these cuts to our communities at this critical time. So I want you to know I'm going to be fighting this White House budget, but I need your help. And it is, by the way, not just this budget, the 2007 budget that we're currently looking at. Once again, the administration wants to take back $2 billion that was appropriated to HUD last year. Now, I have to say, this way of budgeting was new to me when I came to this subcommittee, where the Bush administration provides money with one hand, and then they reach out and take it away when we aren't looking. Well, if the administration can't find $2 billion in recaptured Section 8 balances, that agency has to cut funding from somewhere else in HUD. Now, both Senator Bond and I, he is the chairman, I'm ranking member, are very concerned that what we're going to see is HUD cutting the capital funds, Section 202 projects, HOPE 6, or anything else they don't like. Now, we currently have a General Accountability Office, GAO, report that's looking into this situation. But any way you look at it, the Bush administration has the wrong priorities. And you know what? Those aren't our only challenges. I hope and expect that my subcommittee will continue to look at how those dollars are being distributed and administered by HUD. You are the people who put needy families into housing, not someone sitting here in Washington, D.C. at HUD headquarters. I believe that our subcommittee has an obligation to make sure that HUD is helping, not hindering your efforts. Now, I also know the difficulty you're all having with HUD's mandate that you move to an asset-based management system. Well, in my view, HUD has an obligation and a responsibility to provide you with adequate resources and guidance as you tackle this challenge. And I want you to know I will continue to work with you and insist that HUD give you the tools and assistance you need if they're going to go down this road. So, boy, we have a lot at stake in Congress this year, and that's why it is so important that you're here and that your voices are very loud and very clear. So it comes to the point where I want to give you some suggestions that I hope help you as you meet with your members of Congress. Now, for those of you who don't know me, before I was out here in Washington, D.C., I was a preschool teacher, which gave me a lot of great skills, by the way, for working in the U.S. Senate. But that's another story. But I have sat on the both sides of this, coming and advocating for people I care about and sitting as a United States Senator. So I've got a view, some views I hope will be helpful to you. And first of all, I would suggest to you, when you meet with your members, talk about the local impact. Everybody back here gives us national statistics. They're great. But what we really need to hear from you is what's happening in your local communities. Only you can explain the impact on this issue, on the people that live back at home. Explain what kind of services you cannot provide to needy families when you are not adequately compensated for rising utility costs. Explain what health and safety improvements you have to defer or you have to cancel when Congress cuts funding for public housing capital funds. In my home state, King County, one of our largest, our largest county, those cuts actually meant delays in installing some sprinkler systems in some of our units, and there was actually a fire that caused a fatality. Those kinds of things make a difference, and your members need to hear them. Explain what happens when you don't have the funding to provide adequate security at your public housing facilities. Explain what promising development projects won't get done and how many jobs are going to get lost if we continue to cut the CDBG program. By all means, carry the national messages that you're hearing from NARO, but the more local you can be in your presentation, the more effective you are going to be. Secondly, tell personal stories. We are flooded with information, and when we're sitting at a hearing 5 months from now, we're not going to remember the statistics, but we may well remember that personal story that you shared with us. So find them and tell them. They do have an impact. Third, know your audience. If the person you're talking to, the member you're talking to, has supported you in the past, thank them. If they haven't, don't expect them to flip on this issue overnight, but find something real small they can agree with. Tell them if they support the Murray Amendment. Today you're going to remember that. Find them, give them something that they can agree to. Because, you know, every member, whether I agree with them or not or here, cares about their constituents, they care about their community, they want to help you, they want to help you in good ways, so kind of find a way to help them, and that always helps your meeting go better. Finally, make your visit to your member part of an ongoing relationship, especially if by following up with staff members. You will not believe how many people fly all the way out here from Washington State, 2,500 miles away, have one visit, and I don't hear from them again until the next year conference. Remember, we have to all go home and get elected. So if you're out in our communities talking to our staff, showing up where we are, reminding them about housing issues, telling them who you are again and again, those are the faces we remember, and we remember them back here when you're voting. So remember to build those relationships. It is especially important. So I hope that is helpful to you. But let me just say again, you are here at the most critical time. We're considering the budget on the floor today. If the budget we pass today is constrained, next fall, when we're doing the appropriations bills and actually writing those items for the housing budget, we will not be able to fix or undo what we do today. So remember, every one of you is creating successes in your local communities. It's time to bring those successes back here to the decision makers in the Capitol. Let them know what you're fighting for and what you have accomplished. Tell them that we deserve a better budget than one that cuts the progress you've made. Tell them it is time to invest here at home. We are spending billions in Iraq. That's a debatable question. But where I come from, you're only as strong as what you build at home. And that's what you all are doing. And most importantly, tell them you are going to watch how they vote on this budget resolution. I'm going to continue to use my seat here in the U.S. Senate as ranking member on the Transportation HUD Appropriations Committee. But I got to tell you, when I'm at that table negotiating, I need to look out and see other members of Congress who share that commitment and passion. And that's what you can help me build today. We got a lot of work ahead of us, but you know, I grew up in a very small town in a very large family, and the one thing I knew is that you're not going to be remembered by those you look up to. You're going to be remembered by those who you help pull up behind you. That's what you do every single day. And I want to thank you for that. Stand up and speak out for them. It's an important role, and I so appreciate the job each one of you do. Thank you very, very much.